Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, Bankstown? Hey, how we doing? It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood on a Thursday on The Usual Suspects, and that must mean we're all back together. Nick is here along with Barry and myself. Fellas, what is going on?
What's up, Playboy?
What
all
up, people?
Good, man. All good. I mean, seriously, we're told enjoy today because it's the last day we may see until August or September of this weather, but it is outstanding.
Is that a fact? I see. I got to go check with little Uzi Vert and see what he's saying.
Some point he'll chime in because he listens, but he's a little late. He's always a dollar day late and a dollar short, but he'll chime in. But they say humidity coming back tomorrow, then it's going to start getting into the 80s and then stay there.
And it's a game, yeah. So I'm looking at the weather.com. Today, 76, 44% humidity, and you're right. Tomorrow, 79 and 77%. Then after that, it's 80s and 80% humidity. Ugh.
Whoa, then I'm right. Hey, then I might as well go for broke. It's going to have baseball-size hail. It's going to be crazy.
All right, settle down there.
It's going to be like a hurricane.
Settle down there, Joel Brandon, Ed Blake.
All right. Don't call me Joel Billingsley. I listened to your YouTube last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was good. It was entertaining.
It was fun, man. It was a good time. AJ's, anytime AJ and I get together, there's going to be a lot of crap that gets talked to each other and about others, and it was all in good fun, man. It was a good time. Did you hear him say that if he didn't mess with you, it meant he didn't like you?
Yeah.
So he loves you. He loves you so much. He loves you a whole lot.
The only thing that I would say is I heard him say that he thinks he goes, I don't know, maybe deep down he hates me. That's not true. It's not true at all. No, there was a time
I'm just messing with you.
No, there was a time I did for sure. Now, when he pulls out, well, when you ask Lisa if she hates him, she has to hate him. I mean, okay.
But
you know,
again,
wives are supposed to be off limits.
That's
supposed to be off limits.
But that's not okay. Him taking. But I mean, you've heard him when he,
yeah,
the way he talks to Fred is the same way. Kids, wife. And that's the thing with AJ. Nothing is off limits, but you have to know if it's coming from a good place or not. And 95% of the time, it's not malicious. He's just either going for the laugh or he's just, you know, busting balls.
We talked it out. I mean, we've had several conversations since where, you know, we've come a long way. Because, I'm not going to lie to you. When it first went down, it was direct messages that were paragraphs long back and forth to each other. Because I took it off of Twitter and said, let's just do this me and you. And it got real heavy. And you know, like when he said he didn't want me to be he thought I was being the P word. Well, I mean, long story short, when, you know, you walk through the bullpen and one of the interns goes, oh, did you hear AJ last night? He was killing you again. And I looked at Jong and Jong was like, yeah, he was. And all I said was, when is it going to stop? I don't even really know this guy. I'm like, when is it going to stop? And I went to the bathroom. By the time I got done with the show, you would have thought that I went to David Gow and said, AJ is a POS that needs to be fired. And then he just went like, you know, 8 guns blazing on the blitz. And I was like, what? What is going on? It's a total different. It's like a 180 from the Rockets front office to dealing with that. And it's it's a culture shock.
It is. It can be a culture shock. If you come from a corporate environment into ESPN, it's much more lax. It's much more of a free-spirited environment, I guess. I mean, it's an amazing place to work, though, and that's the beauty of it is you're going to find a few places where it's more fun to work. It really is.
And I think the trade-off is beautiful because, you know, from my previous life, we weren't allowed to talk about anybody. We weren't allowed to bring up other stations. We weren't allowed to be honest. I mean, look, honesty about your own team meant you better not damn well ever say a disparaging word about anybody or anything with the Rockets. To all of a sudden, the most liberating freedom on the planet, where basically you're encouraged to say whatever you want about whatever you want, unless it's Jeff Passan. But other, you know, for the most part, it's like, you know, it's fantastic.
That's a nice little extra you threw in there.
I'm rolling today.
It was a good time. And I told him, I was like, yeah. He goes, you gonna have Joel? And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna have everybody that wants to come on from Gal Media on. That's kind of the point. This was all about being locked in a house every day. Because he didn't know either. He's like, I don't know what you want from me. I was like, just hang out. Let's just shoot the breeze. Let's just have whatever comes up.
I mean, like, with you and me.
I was like, yeah, Joel and I are going to spill the tea. We're going to talk about the first year and a half of the show and how awful it was. Because nobody knows all the stories and the details.
Yeah.
We'll get into all that because we're in a much better place now and we can do that.
Sure we are. And I was going to say, some people shoot the breeze. We shoot the freaking cyclone thunderstorm. Yeah. I mean, we've got enough wind in more ways than one than most. So, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, it was really cool though, man. It was, I mean, people love AJ. They love his crap talking, and so you know, I mean, it's a lot of people gravitate to that. A lot of people really enjoy that. So it was. But I mean, like I said, I've known him a decade. Immediately, we started talking trash to each other. We got into the whole him whiskey shaming me. It was fun. It was a good time.
It was an entertaining when nothing on TV or anything like that. I was doing work in the house and around the house, and I had it on, and even Taylor walked by and went, is that Barry? And I went, yeah, Tay, so it is. Sweet. Now go in the other room, because they're going to use a lot of words that I don't want you to learn right now.
It's going to be a lot of words.
Yeah, you just go in the other room, and I'll fill you in on the details later, but you don't need to be learning what rhymes with duck. So, yeah, just take it to your mom for a while. So we were good.
Yeah, that was fun, man. That was a good time.
That's good. Yeah, Nicholas, how are you?
Man, I've been great. I can't complain. You know, it's a different schedule, but it's unique. I'm glad we can talk about things like this, like Joel and AJ hashing things out. I like it.
Well, but Nick, let me ask you this, because Dell is very much pro this schedule. But as much as Dell, you know, has a role on the bench, I mean, you have an integral role with us. Do you like this schedule?
I do not. No.
Okay.
I don't. All right. I don't. But I just felt weird. I kept coming into the station, you know, and I was like the one producer. But it was just weird the way the schedule was set up. So, but no, I don't. I'd rather be on the air 5 days a week. But it's just the nature of the circumstances.
Would I be accurate in saying it's like being when you were coming in like that on the regular for every show? It's like being the guy that walks into HEB and being the only guy without a mask on.
What do you mean?
Like, you walk in and everybody's looking at you like, why are you here? And you know you're supposed to be, like, you know, social distancing supposed to be staying at home.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because, like, I know that if I, like, oh, God. And, Barry, you guys would have had a field day yesterday. I had to go to the grocery store after the show yesterday. And the mask that I had been using that I, you know, I tweeted the picture of was in the wash. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do? And Lisa goes, just take Taylor's. I go, Taylor has a mask? She's like, well, I ordered us one, some of them too, but they haven't come in yet. And I was like, take Taylor's. Where is it? She goes, it's on the dining room table. It's a Frozen mask.
Hey, all right.
It's Olaf. And with my gourd, I'm like, you think this is going to fit? And so I put it on and Lisa goes, it's close enough. I'm like, close enough. Every time I turned the corner to go down an aisle, I got every eyeball in the aisle going, what the hell is he wearing on his face? And why does it have a cartoon character on the nose? And I'm like, yeah.
I had a mask that had little teddy bears and stuffed animals and like kids' toys on it, and that same thing. People were like, "All right, this guy's a psycho. He probably hurt a child." So
definitely not posting pics of that.
It's amazing how many ads I see now on my IG and other social media for people wanting me to buy masks. It's like that's the thing now. Is it's like, in fact, I've had somebody that that I've used in the past for like shirts that sent me an email and was like, "Hey, we're putting logos on masks now. If you want to get custom masks made to either give out or sell," I was like, "Well, that's just crazy." And I was like, "Actually, that might be a pretty cool little merch thing." Have custom masks with something funny on the front. That might not be that's not a bad idea.
That would be great, but I don't know if you heard about it. I saw it on the news that there's stories out there. People are paying hundreds of dollars for these masks that with the ads that they're seeing, like you said, on the internet, on Facebook, on all these different sites, and then they're getting back paper masks if they get any mask at all. And it's just another way people are scamming. They look for the opportunity and they just cashed in. And it's crazy. So
yeah, good times. Well, I just saw AJ's text. Did you see?
I did
before
we
went live.
Oh yeah, yep. I've been commenting back and forth to him.
Oh yeah. I was like, why is Joel and AJ texting now? And then I was like, are they fighting already? It wasn't. There was nothing disparaging said last night. But I see why. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, Charlie mentioned it, but it's worth mentioning again. The Blitz tonight between 4 and 7 is going to have Joey Chestnut on. There's a big eating contest, professional eating contest online, I believe it is, or streaming on Friday. So Joey Chestnut is going to join the Blitz tonight, so stay tuned for that. That's going to be very
That's
cool.
That's going to be awesome.
Yep, very cool indeed.
And let me tell you, AJ is so cocky that I bet you he thinks he could out-eat Joey Chestnut. And I will say this, of all the people that I know personally, AJ is the best competitive eater. But he's so confident that I bet you he will challenge Joey Chestnut to eating wieners.
Okay, I'm going to leave that one with you. However, on that note, have you all seen this new commercial for, I think it's like, you know, it's kind of like a not major league sized insurance company has this new commercial where these people are at a baseball game and the vendor is selling hot dogs and the guy's like, "One hot dog here," and the vendor just pulls out the hot dog. There's no bun or anything. And then they proceed to follow the pass the hot dog where everyone is gripping the hot dog and sending it. And now literally it gets worse. Wait. So it gets to the guy who ordered it and he has the most awkward look on his face as he puts this thing up near his nose and stares it down like, "Where's the bun?" Then they go to, you know, promote what the insurance is. And then they go back to him and then a half flaccid hot dog is dangling in his face again, and I'm going, why isn't someone using this on Twitter already? It is ridiculous, but it's all over. I see the commercial. I'm like, how are people not red flagging this one? But it's out there.
That's funny. That's good times, man.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Nick, good to have you back in the driver's seat.
For sure.
Are glad to have you. Way Back Wednesday.
How did Way Back Wednesday go, by the way? I meant to.
I won.
Really?
He didn't win, but you got
nobody
you got
even published the list.
Yeah, we didn't publish the list. People asked for them. We did talk about them, and we went through our lists. But we gave you full credit for picking a great theme. People were on board. Of course, everybody was giving us their suggestions for what songs they would play with Bill O'Brien. Of the ones that were publishable or you know, that we could speak about without getting in trouble, we did. So,
yeah, it went well. It was a good theme, good day of
music. Well, good, because I know Bill O'Brien spoke, so I'm trying to get some of that, and hopefully we can talk about that at some point.
I didn't catch it, but I'm guessing percent 1,000 is the chance that he deflected or did not go into details on DeAndre Hopkins and the trade. All he did is we're happy
he
to
did
have
a little
Johnson,
bit.
Where, you know, DeAndre Hopkins was a good football player, but we couldn't re-sign him. We had to do what's best for the football team. We're happy to have David Johnson, and we think he's going to be a great running back. I would feel like that pretty much encapsulates what happened today.
There are some that I've seen but it's almost like same stuff, different day.
Yeah.
But Billy-O will Billy-O is what I'll say about that. We'll get some of those out of the on the show today. By the way, National Wear Your PJs to Work Day today. I thought that would be pretty for you because you've been doing that every day.
But I was going to say, business as usual. Actually, putting on PJs would actually be more attire than I've been wearing. So,
well, let it hang, let it roll, brother. All right, so we're just getting started on the usual suspects. HR&P listener line. Hit us up, 713-780-3776. Text that number. Call that number. Hit us on Twitter where it is at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is funny. Stay tuned also. If you're a first responder, you can get your car disinfected and really taken care of, cleaned out on the inside today as part of a deal we've got going until 5 o'clock. I'll give you details on that on the flip side. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
More talk, less commercials. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
We are here for you. La, 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 la.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Just getting started on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, and before we get into Bill O'Brien's press conference today, or virtual press conference today, I did want to follow up on what I said. Today is the day. If you're a first responder, if you're police, fire, medical profession, working in the hospitals, we've got a great deal for you. ESPN partnering with local Garner Oil to help out first responders and medical professionals. Garner Oil is the Texas distributor for a product called BioPledge. They use BioPledge to treat the interior of vehicles, and it kills 99.99% of microbes on contact, things like bacteria, viruses, fungus. BioPledge actually bonds to the surfaces inside the interior of an automobile, a helicopter, whatever, killing viruses and such for 30 to 120 days. It's perfect for right now. So today, first responders, medical professionals, you get BioPledge in your car and fully treated for free. They're going to be set up in the parking lot of Damaris Barbecue, West Loop North at 18th Street, all the way until 5 o'clock today. It takes less than 10 minutes for your car to get treated, and it's well worth it, and it's just our way of saying thanks to you. So if you're a first responder or a medical professional, bring your credentials and your car and get free BioPledge treatment today on your vehicle. Damaris Barbecue parking lot, West Loop North at 18th Street, and thank you for your service.
Cool. It's a really cool thing that they're doing. Like, really cool.
Absolutely. So, I don't know if you saw some of these quotes, Barry, but we can get into it. But Bill O'Brien did meet the media today over a Zoom chat-like setup, and had several things to say. He felt like there were 100 to 200 calls made before the back and forth between the Cardinals deal came to fruition and was finalized. He thought it was a, quote, really good deal.
Of course he's – I mean, well, he's not going to come out and be like, I got fleeced. Okay, look. Truth be told, they got me. It was a terrible deal, but what you going to do? He's not going to say that. We all know that that's what happened, and just because he doesn't say it doesn't mean it's not true.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just more coach speak throughout this entire, you know, everything that he said throughout this entire press conference, we'll call it. It's just, you know, at the same time, I think he's lucky in that no matter what questions he got, I don't think he was going to get the hard-hitting ones he would have gotten had media been in the same room with him. But I don't think he'd known about it.
I'd have asked him. Damn him! Tell the truth.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, he expects big. You know, he worked at Penn State with the GM of the the Cardinals. I think it's Steve Kimes. So he's all about the fact that, you know, he trusts Steve. Steve wouldn't do him wrong. And Steve told him David Johnson's health is back and he's going to have a hell of a year. He passed his physical with flying colors. Can't wait for him to, you know, get to work with the Texans. Well, there's a whole lot of people that wish he wouldn't get to work with the Texans and they still had DeAndre Hopkins. And it's just, this is exactly what I expected out of this press conference today. Let's say that.
Boy. So business as usual, correct?
What do you mean?
With the glossing over the reality.
Oh, sure. Yep. O'Brien is again. He's all about, you know, we're trying to win in January. You know, we're not trying to win in, you know, or earlier than that. We're trying to be a January team. I think it's going to be a veteran laden team because of the fact that, you know, that this is going to be such a screwed up year with getting rookies in here. Obviously, downplaying the fact that he doesn't have the draft picks that most teams have. And he pleaded to let it all play out when it comes to the Texans' moves in this offseason. He mentioned the Hopkins move, but all moves. He said, review the moves in a year or two or three.
No, you don't get 3 years, Billy O. It's the NFL. You don't get 3 years. If these moves didn't pan out now, this season, and you don't make a playoff run that's better than what you've done in the past, then the results of your moves were the same as before. Not winning in the playoffs. You don't get – the whole point of making the moves is to be better. And if you got rid of DeAndre Hopkins to bring in Randall Cobb and Brandon Cooks and David Johnson and you're not better, then that's your bad. And you don't get three – this isn't college where you bring in a freshman. These are NFL players. You want to talk about gelling and chemistry and all that? Fine. You get 3 weeks during the regular season. You can go 0-3. But then after that, everybody needs to pick it up. I'm just sorry, but you don't get off the hook for 3 years. Bro, how long have you been here behind the scenes calling the shots and getting players that you want? No, this isn't college. You don't. This ain't Penn State. You don't get 3 years. You get this year.
Right. Well, and you should be on the clock because, as we said, I think moves – should have been considered to have been made if he wasn't in the first of a 5-year extension recently. So, as with every passing year, he should be more on the clock, and he should have to face the music more because of the fact that you're right. He shouldn't be allotted any more padded time to make things better. He's had plenty of time here, and you know, we've highlighted everything from the trades and what he didn't get or what he didn't do with the extension for Tunsil. And then basically I was reading something today where someone broke down every route that Brandon Cooks has run and every route that Randall Cobb has run. And they're like, pretty much the same guy. And then they threw Will Fuller and they went, pretty much the same guy. In terms of a lot of the routes they've run, now Cobb has been more inside lately, but when you look at Brandon Cooks and Will Fuller, it's like, well, okay, so who's going to be your big play receiver that's going to have the hands and traffic that are going to do the things that D-Hop did?
Yeah, this team doesn't have a possession receiver, and we talked about that when the trade went down, is that you had a guy in DeAndre Hopkins that could literally do everything. If you needed a big play in the red zone, you could go to him. You know, he can high point the ball. You can run those fade routes. You can run DeAndre Hopkins across the middle. He'll make those catches. You can run the whole route tree. He can do all that. And he can catch the ball at any point in any of those routes. He can be physical with receivers. He can, you know, he's not a burner, but he'll get downfield. He can run across the middle. It's just, you had one of the best and most versatile receivers in football in DeAndre Hopkins, and now you've got a bunch of speed guys, but you have no possession receiver. Who's the guy on this roster? And I'll give you my answer. I want to know yours too. But if you're the Texans, who's the guy on this roster that you count on for a possession? If it's third and seven, who's your go-to guy? It used to be DeAndre Hopkins. You don't have that anymore.
No, you don't. But you know what? The other thing that is even more puzzling and bothersome is the guy that I probably say I would have the most confidence in is a guy that we're hearing
yep.
could be released in Kenny Stills. When you needed that play aside from D-Hop last year, You found it in Kenny Stills. He made big plays. He got big touchdowns. And then you think you're hearing either they're going to trade him for a low round pick, or they're going to have to cut him. And you're like, well, then what the hell are we doing here? Because he was one of the pieces that upped the ante with Miami. It makes zero sense.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking too. Is at this point now your possession receiver is Kenny Stills, and he's probably going to be a cap casualty. Just like DeAndre Hopkins was a cap casualty. So the two guys on this roster in your receiving core that you counted on last year for big plays and big moments are going to be gone if they cut Kenny Stills because of cap space or contract issues. And now you want 3 years? Nah, Blair. You've got 16 games. Sorry.
And thanks to our man Cody Stutes, who had a lot of these on Twitter. But no surprise here either. When O'Brien was quizzed about the Aaron Hernandez, Michael Irvin, DeAndre Hopkins conversation that Irvin had on TV, O'Brien with the no comments.
Oh, really?
Where there's smoke, there's fire. If you're going to deny it like that, let's be honest. There's a lot of truth probably what Michael Irvin said. So that's the first half hour of the show. We got plenty more to get to. We always want you to be a part of the show. HRNP listener line is where you reach us, 713-780-3776. You can call that number, text that number, and, of course, you can hit us on Twitter. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Half hour into The Suspects. We are rolling along as we take you all the way till 4 o'clock. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Thursday in the big city. Tomorrow's an FBF Friday. I'm sure we'll have a comedian of the week and plenty of good stuff there as well, but we should have plenty of time to get into everything and more today, fellas.
A buddy of mine, Justin Trapp, who listens all the time, was saying, yeah, one of the things, though, about this Texans receiving core, if they go four wide, what four corners can cover them from a speed perspective? It's a good point, yeah, but unless you're going to run 4-9 routes, I mean, you kind of know when that if you go four wide, what's coming? It's a speed attack, right? So most corners in the NFL tend to be undersized to begin with, and versus receivers who are usually slightly bigger and more physical than the corners that they're opposing. Even the best corners tend to be a little undersized. So I think it actually plays well or plays a little bit better into defenses if your corners are smaller but speedier.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that obviously you have some options. You know, I don't think the cupboard is bare by any means, simply because of they have some veteran talent. I think Stills is the big key. If you keep him, I think you do have a lot of versatility. I think you have, you know, in some regards, you have the potential to be a very, very solid 1-4 set of receivers. Mm-hmm. But again, to your point, which was so on point a week or so when you said it, though, essentially you're requiring 2.5 bodies to make up for the statistics of one guy. And no matter how much Bill O'Brien loves the fact that he's excited to have David Johnson, we know that running backs are a dime a dozen. But we know that if you have a go-to franchise-type receiver, I mean, that's a hot commodity that can be a value for years and years. No matter what happens, the life expectancy of a running back and with the injury history of David Johnson, no. I'm not expecting him to be here that long.
No. You feel like that he's – well, I don't know. Maybe he has a plan. I don't want to assume – nothing tells me he does have a plan, but I don't want to assume that he doesn't. because I will give him credit that last year he started to open up the offense and do some different things based on the personnel. So maybe he likes the idea and coaches speak in NFL parlance. Maybe he likes the juice. Maybe he likes the fact that Cobb and Cooks and Fuller on the field at the same time. There's a lot of juice. There's a lot of speed. There's a lot of opportunity to take the lid off the defense in many different ways. You can still run. You could run a jet sweep and a go route at the same time. I mean, look at, you know, so maybe he has that kind of idea. And in that regard, yeah, I'll wait and see. But on the surface of looking at these moves and then adding David Johnson it's a little baffling and perplexing to say the least. But I don't know, maybe Bill O'Brien's playing chess and we're all playing checkers.
Well, I think that's what he's counting on, because that's why he's pleading for everybody to wait to pass judgment for, you know, at least a year. But I was thinking about that today when I was driving around, come back from getting coffee, that, you know, I'm thinking about what could he say? And then I'm trying to think of the most, you know, loyal, and we've had a few Texans fans that have had the gall to come back at us and say, he knows exactly what he's doing, and this team's going to be better off without DeAndre Hopkins. What could possibly, you know, could it possibly be that if these receivers all, you know, are at the top of their game this year, that this team could be better than they were a year ago? And I don't know that even if these guys, because Randall Cobb is obviously on the downside no matter what his contract says. And he had a decent year last year as a arguably three, you know, the third option in Dallas. But with all these guys and Cooks' concussion history and all the different teams he's played for and everything like that, I just don't know, no matter what they do, that the Texans fans are going to forget the fact that they had better with Hopkins.
I don't understand, though. If I could jump in, I don't understand. Like, my hypothetical question to both of you is, if he's really playing chess, was he playing this all along? And how much, you know, like Barry said earlier, you don't get 2 to 3 years. And that's the most discouraging part about that press conference is I feel like he's trying to buy himself more time in the event that his approach doesn't work. And I feel like there may be a confidence issue there if that's really the case. 2 to 3 years? I just don't understand. My hypothetical question would be, like, if he's playing chess, like, how long is this chess game?
Yeah, it is kind of contradictory, right? Like, you're saying, hey, look, we did this and we like these guys and we're doing it, like you have a plan. And is the plan to win in 3 years, or is the plan to win now? That's the other question is. And so if it's 3 years, that's just not going to get it, because J.J. Watt is getting older. Deshaun Watson is getting older. You know, like, this is a win now team. This is built for win now, or it was.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing, Barry. When you say win now, you know, I would expect him to come back with, I mean, look, 6 out of 8 years made the playoffs. I mean, you know, those are the kind of line, won the division, you know, got in the playoffs. Those are going to be his ideas of winning. I think that the grandiose plan of Texans Nation is a level or two above what he's expecting in terms of winning years. I think that the winning years for Texans fans are, look, we've had our share of winning the divisions or making the playoffs. It's either put up or shut up, but we were expecting to go to the conference championship game at the very minimum in the last couple of years, and I don't see any way that happens.
Yeah, this team is, I mean, you're... I don't want to say they're worse, but they are. They may be in a little bit better position financially to get better, and that goes back to Nick, to that, you know, chess versus checkers thing. But on the field, all you can do is evaluate the players that left versus the players that you got. And right now, I think that they're worse from a talent standpoint. And he's talking about, well, you can't have. I don't know if you saw that quote, but he said something to the effect of, you can't have. Where was it? Why trade Hopkins after contract demands? O'Brien says you can't pay an elite QB, an elite tackle, and an elite defensive end, and then more. You can if you plan ahead. You can if you know that you've got an aging defensive tackle. You let the other elite defensive defensive end go. You know, with Tunsil, if you'd have taken care of that ahead of time, they wouldn't have had you over the barrel. That would have saved you more money. So some of this is the fact that, you know, he's being short-sighted in what he wants as far as a GM. But but the moves don't make sense when you look at them individually. So I just, it's all baffling to me. And
I mean, I think, Barry, to your point too, the other thing is that if you're looking to buy time or place blame, and Nick, this goes into what you said too, there's no one else to blame but Bill O'Brien for the fact that you're paying Tunsil what you're going to have to pay him, or that you're paying some of these guys. Don't expect people to do the woe is me and feel sorry for you when you're the one that made Nick Martin the sixth highest paid offensive lineman, or you made, you know, all the different Kyamie Fairbairn, one of the top three paid kickers in the league, when all you could do was, you know, cross your fingers and bite your fingernails whenever he set up to make a field goal. So, I mean, he set this up to do this to himself, and now he wants leeway. And I just don't think it's what anybody is feeling for him anymore.
Boy, you bring up a really good point in that you overpaid. You know, but it's typical now. It's what we've seen of Bill O'Brien. He overpays and he undervalues. So you're overpaying for Fairbairn. You overpaid for Merciless. You overpaid for the other cat?
Nick Martin.
Yeah, Nick Martin. I mean, and then you won't overpay for the best player on your team. You can argue with me whether it's Deshaun Watson or you know, I don't think it's J.J. Watt, but it could be. But the fact of the matter is, you know, Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins were the two best players on your team, and you let one of them go. Why not skip out paying Whitney Merciless, or don't pay Kyamie Fairbairn and bring in a younger kicker? Don't pay Nick. I mean, like, save that money for the guys that are really good.
But yeah, for sure.
You let them go.
Yeah, and here's the other thing: he wanted credit, and he kept saying he wanted credit. You know, he's been bringing up the fact that for some of the moves that they've made that have panned out. And he mentions Duke Johnson, and he mentions Carlos Hyde. But part of the kicker there is, well, if they panned out, keep them. And also, don't forget, just because they had good seasons, you have to remember what you gave up to get them. In the case of Hyde, you didn't give up anything, but you didn't keep them. In the case of Duke Johnson, you gave up too much, but you had a good season, and now you have to keep him. So, And as you said, his salary puts him in the top 15 in the league, and he's a third down back. So go out and get the third highest paid running back in the league. That's a good idea. Now you got two of the top 15.
Unbelievable.
Go Chiefs. Go Packers.
Yeah, right, go so Chiefs.
We'll continue to roll through hour number one of the show. Plenty more room for you to get in. We'd love to have you be a suspect and join us. 713-780-3776. You can call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Suspects, Nick Barry and Joel on a Thursday in the big city, kicking around the Bill O'Brien presser today, and the fact that the spin cycle continues as the organization and Bill try and get you to believe that they know what they're doing, that every move is going to make sense, and this is going to all come to fruition with the team being better than they've been as they move forward into this season. So,
somebody texted and said the only elite player that the Texans had was D-Hop. I mean, obviously he was one of them, but I still think Deshaun Watson was up there.
I would agree with that. I was going to say, you know, not that he's even seen his ceiling yet, but I think that the way people talk about the best young quarterbacks in the game, he's always within the top five of those mentioned, if not higher. I think that in itself says he's an elite-type player.
Yeah, and maybe he's not elite yet, but he's getting there, and he's, you know, shows the potential for being elite. So I think you can kind of lump him in with, you know, the but D-Hop obviously with from a production and having already proved it on the field standpoint by far. Yeah, I would agree. He might be the only elite player, but Deshaun is in the category just because of his potential and because of, you know, a lot of other reasons. But his play on the field, okay, maybe not elite, but you understand that the dynamic of what he brings. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm thinking around the roster. I think Reed is a guy that has potential to maybe get there someday, but obviously isn't there yet. Tunsil, too many penalties, but, you know, he's going to get paid like the best left tackle in the league. He's probably in the top 10. As I look around the roster, I don't really see, you know, anybody else that stands out to me and says elite.
Yeah.
And the problem is defensively, you've taken a lot of steps backwards in terms of your secondary, guys that you once had that were playing at a certain level as opposed to what you had and the makeshift things you had to do. But he was looking – I mean, look, he was looking for so much credit. He mentioned Conley as another guy that, you know, kudos to them for bringing in that made plays for them. He mentioned the Seattle trade getting Martin that, you know, made the one big sack. He mentioned plays, not players. So he was mentioning at the end, he was grasping for straws, talking about players that made one play here or there when what you expect to get when you make a move for a Clowney or you make a move for a even Hopkins after the season. But the moves that you made or giving up, you know, first round pick here or whatever, you know, whatever you gave up in certain circumstances to get, you know, Conley and Hart, all those different things. You don't expect the guy you bring in to make one play. You expect them to be a player.
Yep.
A consistent player. And that's not what I saw. So.
Nope. No argument from me there.
So I guess it's the beginning of how we move forward. They're talking about the fact that I guess they're going to have virtual sessions with the team starting later this month. So we'll see how that goes. That's why he made the comment that they're going to be more of a veteran-focused team this year because of the fact that, you know, it's not going to be the same way it's been in years past where you draft players or you bring in young players and then you have the OTAs and the entire offseason leading into training camp to where you can get them ready to play. It's going to be more difficult to do that. But that also lends itself to saying you shouldn't cut Kenny Stills then or trade him because you're going to need veteran players.
Well, you can't pay everybody, Joel. You can't pay everybody. It's amazing, though, that other teams can find stars and hang on to them. Of course, I mean, the Rams didn't. But still, that's beside the point. Rams still have a lot of talent.
Well, at least Jared Goff says so. But they've also traded away a lot of talent. If you're Jalen Ramsey, you look at that and go, you know, this isn't the team I signed up for when I was giddy about coming to L.A.
Yeah, true that, right?
New stadium, bad logos, and now I don't have half the team I had a year ago. So we'll see how everything plays out. But the NFL in full swing, getting ready for the draft next week. So that's another big deal. Obviously, jokes are flying all over the place about the fact that Bill O'Brien will probably have problems connecting and only do it an hour before the draft. But we'll see how all that goes. But they do have one second-round pick. So they have a second-round pick. Hey. Until they traded one away. So they have I think they have second through seventh, one pick in each round.
So. Yeah, according to Billy O, he loved the 40th pick in the draft. Really?
Yeah.
So, Joel, do you make that reference about connecting because of that parody that came out about Bill O'Brien not being able to FaceTime Deshaun Watson?
What parody? I didn't see it.
Yeah, I just put it up on the rundown. Really? I thought it was hilarious. Yeah. We can probably wait for the next segment, but there's like a 1 minute.
Is it the cartoon one?
Yeah. Yep. It's like an animated parody.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Was on Bleacher Report. I think it's where I first saw it. Yeah.
I didn't know if you guys talked about it on one of the days I wasn't here.
I don't think we did bring it up, to be honest with you. If we have the audio, we should definitely play that.
Yeah,
next
we got
segment,
it. We got it.
It's really good. Yeah. Well, we'll tease. We'll make them stick around for it because it's worth it. I don't want to run out of time, and I'd like to be able to discuss it afterwards. Real quick, just to kind of get off topic a little bit and then we can come back. But, you know, there's talk of the G League and everything. Joel, what is your two cents on kids skipping college and going to the G League?
I'll tell you what.
That was a text we got. So just FYI.
If you missed it, the number one prospect in the country is going to skip going to college, Jalen Green, and he's going to play in the G League for a year to get ready for being drafted. I think it's a total 180 for the NBA and the G League, who have completely shied away and really forcefully turned away from doing something like this because they thought that it took away and they would catch heat from the NCAA. But I think in this day and age, what they hate even more is the way high school kids are now circumventing the one and done rule of having to go to the NCAA for a year and finding success by going overseas to play for a year, or in the case of the Ball brothers, at least a year, making money and then still getting drafted and still having things turn out. I think that basically Sharif Abdur-Rahim, the former player, is now the president of the G League, and they've refocused to say it's much better to have a kid stay in the States, stay safe, stay near his family, and play a year in professional basketball at the level right up against, you know, right below the NBA, as opposed to going overseas, taking a lot of risks, hoping you stay healthy because a lot of these kids got hurt last year, and then taking your chances getting drafted. So I think basically, you know, they've reevaluated and said it's better to have the kid here getting more hype in the United States and, for all the reasons I said, keeping him safe and healthy than it is to watch him go overseas and circumvent the system.
Yeah, I think one of the things too is people might say, oh, well, you should, you know, they're risky, they're sacrificing their future. Well, under even the one and done or whatever, if you're not making them stay for 4 years, they're not getting their education. So what's the difference? I mean, whether they're playing a year in college to get ready for the NBA or they're playing a year in the G League and actually getting paid, the point is they're not using their time in college to get a degree. So why not go get a check and play against competition that's better than what you would get in college? Because we've talked about that in the past, or at least I have. One of the reasons I really can't get into college basketball is that one out of every 10 players on the court is actually good, and that's not even every game you watch. So
you're
not
watching
playing
Kentucky.
Well,
or
yeah,
Duke.
That's true. But you're not playing good competition half the time. But if you're
well,
in the
you're
G
right,
League, you're playing guys on the cusp of the NBA.
Here's
you're
the thing.
Guys, almost every game, you're playing five guys that are better than you would be playing in college. So why not do that, especially if the plan was never to get a degree? I'm good with it.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Kudos to the NBA for doing what they're doing, because they've been in all these different talks, and they always have the ally of the NCAA when they talk about coming up with the one-and-done system, or when David Stern made sure initially that he put an end to kids going right from high school to the pros. But then because they were so close with the NCAA, they didn't want to rock the boat. So that's why they shied away from allowing kids to circumvent the system. Now instead they're welcoming them because this is something that was new to even me in terms of what they've done to reshape the league. In the G League now, they've come up with this program that is reshaped so that the G League will pay elite prospects $500,000 plus and provide a one-year developmental program outside of the minor leagues' traditional team structure so that a kid is enticed to stay in the country. And it also, let's be honest, it boosts interest in the G League. Instead of having us go online to try and find out how some of these top prospects are playing in all these different countries, now you could see some of these G League teams, whether it be the Rio Grande Vipers or the Mad Ants or, you know, whoever these G League teams are. Again, we don't know 3/4 of the teams, but guess what? We will if they have top prospects playing for them. So the league got smart, and maybe they have longevity, success, and a marketing possibilities with their G League if they do it this way.
Yep.
$500,000 totally to play agree. In the G League is ridiculously unheard of. The
boy.
Way that league runs.
It's way better than what you get or don't get in college.
No.
What kid
well, that
in their
or
right mind,
going to
even
Lithuania.
If you come from a wealthy family, what kid in their right mind is not going to go and make $500,000 a year learning how to play basketball in the G League? Come on.
Plus, think about the trade-off, Barry. I mean, instead of going to Lithuania or Australia, and yeah, maybe you make a little bit more money, but it's a total culture shock, an adjustment. Your parents
have
to pick up and go with you.
Gonna disagree on you with you on that one. What kid doesn't want to go to Lithuania? I hear Lithuanian women are
okay.
Boy.
Okay, we'll see. Maybe not. Anyway, the G League changing gears, opening up some opportunities for some kids. So we'll see how that goes. With that, we'll tell you that so goes hour number one of the show. Plenty to go in the second hour coming up next, so don't go anywhere. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. Look, they are loyal to Houston. They are operational. Josh Pesikoff has his staff working from home, but they are working for you as they always do. They have the best customer service in the business. 5 out of 5 star ratings with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. It's the best you can get. And I switched 3.5 years ago. I am so happy and have saved thousands. And I would recommend it to anyone and everyone that's within earshot to get on the phone and get with Infuse Energy. 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. You can also check them out at InfuseEnergy.com. But call. You'll get a human being on the phone, not an automated system. They'll ask you as many questions as you ask them, and their sole goal is to make sure they get you the best rate and the best deal they possibly can. Whether it be for your business or your family, they're going to take care of you. And simply put, it is affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. They also offer 100% green energy at your fingertips, but they are going to take care of you. They are going to make sure they listen, and they're going to give you the best rates you've seen in energy bills. I believe it when I say it, and I'm saying it to you now. Infuse energy into your life.